Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, John chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, God so loved the world. Have you ever heard those words before? God so loved the world. You've heard them before, certainly. Matter of fact, you've heard them many times. I looked back on my old notes on different sermons that I've preached over the years, and I found many sermons based on John chapter 3, especially, of course, verse 16, the gospel in a nutshell. Over and over again, we say the words, God so loved the world. Matter of fact, you say the words sometimes so many times that what happens? They sort of just brush past you. They sort of wash past you. And you don't really hear them. I wonder if what it would be like if you could step back and hear those words for the first time. Hear those words fresh. God so loved the world. I tried doing that as best as I could, and I thought to myself, what's my first thought that comes to mind? God so loved the world. And actually, it was just one word. I said, God so loved the world. Why? Why would God so love the world? Now, you might say to me, well, were you here this last Friday? That was wonderful, wasn't it? It was a beautiful sunny day. The weather was nice. The trees were in bloom. The flowers were shooting up. There was such a fresh smell in the air. The sun was so warm. Who couldn't love that? And I'll give you that up to a point. But remember something. Under all of that beauty, nature is pretty rough and tumble. I remember going fishing with a fellow. We were out on the lake. We'd had a really early start just as the sun was coming up, and it was perfect. The lake was like a mirror, and as the rays of the sun began to hit the water, a little bit of steam came up, and it was such a beautiful thing, and you think to yourself, I don't think I'm going to work today. It was wonderful. And my friend, who was kind of a fly rod philosopher, he said this. He said, it's beautiful, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's beautiful. And then he said, but you know, down there, underneath, under the water, he said, down there, it's big, eat little. Big, eat little. God so loved the world? Why? Well, sometimes when the Bible speaks about the world, it's talking about the lakes and the fish and that sort of thing. It's talking about the natural world. But at other times when the Bible speaks about the world, and more importantly so, it's talking about the inhabited world. It's talking about the world of people. And if you start talking about people and you get off of the beautiful lake and you have to go to work, then what? God so loved the world? That's a lot tougher sell, isn't it? When you're talking about human beings, because why? I mean, look at the thoughts of mankind. Book of Genesis chapter 6, the good Lord did that. He looked at the thoughts of mankind. He looked down from heaven, and this is what it says. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Talk about superlatives. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. God so loved the world. Why? I mean, think about the heart of mankind. Mark chapter 7, this is what the Lord Jesus said. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. Because from within, out of the heart of mankind, come evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and adultery and coveting and wickedness and deceit and sensuality and envy and slander and pride and foolishness, and catch your breath because it keeps going. And all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. God so loved the world? Why? Consider the actions of mankind. Today's gospel, John chapter 3. Jesus said, this is the judgment, or this is the verdict, or this is the way simply things are. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world through our Lord Jesus Christ, and people love the darkness. They love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. God so loved the world. Why? Well, we know that when our Lord Jesus came into this world and he first started his ministry, we know that Satan came to him and showed him all of the kingdoms of this world and all of their glory. And this is what Satan said. He said, all of these can be yours. You can have it all if you bow down and worship me. Now, what do you call that? Well, a temptation, most certainly. But I would call it something else. I'd call it a pig in a poke. That's what it is. Satan says you can have it all. Matter of fact, we'll start with America, the United States of America. You can have the whole thing, and you can run the whole thing. And you can be in charge. We got wonderful people there. We got Democrats there. We got Republicans there. We got all kinds of people there. This people over here, these people over here. We got all kinds of wonderful human beings. You can have it all. Talk about a dirty deal. Talk about a pig in a poke. God so loved the world. Why? Well, maybe we ask the question because our love, human love, needs a why. We have to have some kind of reason to love, some basis for love, some rationale for love. You got to have something to latch on to. And sometimes it's easy. There are people we know who are happy and cheerful and friendly, and they tell jokes and they're fun to be around and they carry the conversation. And so we say, oh, I really love them. Sometimes we go to the other end of things and we have somebody we say, well, I know they're grumpy and I know they're hard to get along with and I know they drive you up the wall, but inside they have, finished the sentence, a heart of gold. But even still, I'm latching on to something. There's got to be something to latch on to. But what if there was nothing to latch on to? What if there was nothing there to latch on to? What if Genesis 6, the Lord looked down and saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? And the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him all the way to his heart. I guess that would call for a different kind of love. Something that you've never seen before, at least in the inhabited world. Maybe something along the lines of Romans chapter 5, where St. Paul said, someone will scarcely die, and he's speaking theoretically here, for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die, but God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, nothing to latch on to, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or did you listen to the second lesson from Ephesians chapter 2? It says, and you were what? You were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We all lived among them at one time in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Nothing to latch on to. God so loved the world. Why? But don't stop. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, a gift of God, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this was not your own doing, not from yourselves, nothing to latch on to. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of your actions, your works, so that no one can boast. God so loved the world. Why? I remember asking that question of my father. Why? I had some hard question that was troubling me. Why? And my dad was a philosophy professor at a college. So of all people, he would know. And so I said, Dad, why? And he just looked at me. He said, William, there's no point in asking questions that have no answer. There's no point in it. Why ask them? The question is not why. The question is what? Not why did it happen, but what happened? What happened? God so loved the world. What did he do? 1 John chapter 3, behold, what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Today's second lesson, God so loved the world. What did he do? Well, he was rich in mercy. He had great love. He made us alive. He saved us by grace. He raised us up. He seated us with him. He was kind toward us. That's what he did. What did he do? He did what was necessary. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, that was necessary because if they didn't have the snake to look at, what happened? They died. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, thus it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up in order that everyone believing in him should have eternal life. And when you come into church, the first thing you see is a cross. That cross tells you something. It doesn't say why. It just simply says what. It says, what did God do? What did the Lord sacrifice for you? And when you get baptized, that tells you what the Lord chose for you, that you would be his child. And when you come to Holy Communion, that tells you what the Lord paid for you, his body broken on the cross, his blood shed on the cross so you could be forgiven. And you look at the collect for today, it tells you what you pray. What do we say? Grant, we ask you, Almighty God, that we who for our sin do certainly deserve to be punished, that by the comfort of your grace, we may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Everywhere and everything repeats the same words. Not why, but simply what. And now you can say them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Lord did. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.